Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 12, beginning with verse 12. The next day, a great multitude, everybody say a big crowd, that had come to the feast, everybody say Passover. When they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Somebody say Savior. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. Then, this verse, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, You see that you are accomplishing nothing. I've read this text many times. I've attended many Palm Sunday messages, but this one verse has jumped out at me within the past 24 hours, and so I want to read it again in the hopes that it will trouble your spirit as well. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look! Look! Here he comes! Here he comes! There he goes! The whole world has gone after him. Heavenly Father, anoint this message today and anoint the breaking of bread and drinking of wine as we honor you, our triumphant King. Father, may it never be said of us that we looked from the sidelines and said, There he goes. The whole world has gone after him. Lord, teach us to move from observation to application. To move from observation to Holy Ghost attainment. Teach us, Lord, to worship you with all that we have, not just on Palm Sunday, but every Sunday. Lord, ignite a passion in our hearts for your church, for the move of God that's taking place from sea to shining sea this morning. Lord, I pray that our passions would be stirred this Holy Week. As we observe these special days, I pray that this week would be more than a ritual, that it would become a way of life for all of us, that we would never take for granted what you taught us, what you did, what you said, and what you mean to us in this hour. Lord, we love you. You are worthy to be praised. You are our Savior, our Redeemer, our blessed hope. And Lord, we just worship you today as our King. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to begin with a story from my family vault. My father was pastoring in Louisiana, young pastor in his 20s. And back then, when you pastored smaller churches, you'd have to stay in a parsonage. I wasn't born yet. My middle sister wasn't born yet. They just had one child, my oldest sister. And my uncle made a trip to Louisiana to help them get the house set up, get it remodeled so that it was livable. And there was a number of deacons in that little church in Louisiana that had volunteered to put heating and air in the house and help them fix it up so that my parents and their one child would be comfortable. Well, my uncle's kind of a prankster. And so my uncle tells my five-year-old sister that when someone does something nice for you, you call them a jackass. And so my father's a young pastor trying to impress this church, and the deacon's installing central heat and air, not charging them anything, wants to help the new pastor. And he gave my sister a piece of gum. And my sister said, "Thank you, sir, you're a real jackass." Now y'all don't be spiritual. On Palm Sunday, we know that's what Jesus rode into the town as the king. But you'll learn as I walk you through this familiar text that sometimes Jesus can do more with a compliant jackass than he can a carnal Christian. God is calling us higher today. God will lay his spirit on you if you're willing to be compliant, if you're willing to make the walk, if you're willing to do what God has asked you to do and be an agent of change and to hold fast to the things of God. Today we know is the first day of Holy Week, and it's an important week in the Gospels. Much of the Gospels is about this particular week. In the Gospel of Matthew, 2/5 of the entire book is about this particular week. Mark, 3/5, Luke, 1/3, and over half of the Gospel of John is about Holy Week. So if the Bible pays that much attention to it, don't you think we ought to? It was important to God. In the Jewish calendar, it is the 10th day of Nisan, not the automobile. More specifically, this was the day that our Jewish friends would select the Passover lamb to be slaughtered. That's why Jesus, when he's at the Mount of Olives where we were this year and he's weeping, he knows he's to fulfill the prophecy from Zechariah. He knows he's to fulfill the prophecy of Daniel, and he knows that he needs a donkey to fulfill the purpose of God. Passover lamb would be slaughtered on the 14th day of Nisan, which is our Good Friday celebration. So when Jesus made his entryway, it was prophetic and it was practical and it was powerful. There were things that God wanted to reveal to his people, and I want to reveal those things to you today. Palm Sunday always brings a great deal of revelation and interest to me as I read through this, because it reminds me of how quickly people can turn on you. One day they're saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna," and just a few short days later, they're yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." Oh, how quickly in this life things can change. You can go from a hero to a zero in no time at all. One mistake will ruin you with most people. When people have sucked you dry and taken everything they can get out of you and used you for everything, their loyalty often changes. But Jesus understood that. Jesus suffered. He was persecuted. He taught us that in this life, if we're to follow him, we too would be persecuted. So today's not about complaining or whining about the terrible things that have happened to all of us. Today is about understanding that he's still king. And although he came in on a donkey, he's coming back on a horse for his church and for those of us that are faithful to his call. God still moves. God still has a plan. But I love what it says, that a great multitude had come to the feast of Passover. Some of that was ritualistic, some of it wasn't. My first point to you this morning is that Jesus still draws a crowd. Jesus still draws a crowd. I'm thankful for strategies. I'm thankful for comedians like Chandra Pierce. I'm thankful for concerts. I'm thankful for Christian entertainment. I'm thankful for movies. Thankful for brainstorming sessions. But I sat in a church yesterday at 10 o'clock in the morning. There wasn't an empty seat. The weather was horrible. And I believe with all of my heart that when Jesus stands in the center of his church, he draws the crowd. But we've got to make sure that it's not our idea of Jesus. It's the authentic Jesus. The one that opens blind eyes. The one that hangs with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. The one that will spend time at midnight with a religious man and tell him how to be born again. The one that goes the extra mile. The one that speaks love. The one that walks in grace. The one who knew his treasure would sell him out, but served him anyways. The one that knew what he had to do, and he bled from his brow in Gethsemane, said, "Let this third cup of Passover pass. Not my will, but yours be done." When the real Jesus takes center stage, he draws a crowd. When miracles are flowing and the prophetic is released, crowds will come to watch us burn. When Jesus is at the forefront, his word, his spirit, his compassion, his love for sinners and the outcast, when that stands in the center of his church, righteousness, love, joy, and peace, it draws a crowd. We need to stop trying to draw a crowd with our flesh and start doing what the Bible says and going to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That's why I've asked you who's your one, because although it's a strategy, it's from the heart of God. Next week, I'm believing God for a great harvest, for a powerful outpouring of his spirit. Jesus still draws a crowd. Yes, there were those of them were there for Passover because that's what they did. It had become a ritual. But the Gospel of John mentions different kinds of people who were there in the crowd. And I believe as we look at these different kinds of people, we might find ourselves in one of these categories. The first were the faithful. Everybody say faithful. These were the disciples. They were there because they were followers of Jesus Christ. But sometimes even the most faithful miss what God is doing and have to receive revelation later. Perhaps you are a faithful believer, and if you came in the midst of this storm, you probably are a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. But are you receiving and experiencing fresh revelation from God in your walk? Or have you grown complacent? Is everything a ritual? To the degree that you can't hear from God anymore. You haven't seen God move in a long time. The faithful were in the crowd. The observers were in the crowd. These are the folks that saw Lazarus raised from the dead. I believe these are charismatic Pentecostal people. These people are there. They're excited. They've seen somebody raised from the dead. Are you kidding me? Jesus is coming in. Forget Passover. We want the Passover lamb. Ah, but within this group, many of them shouting today, speaking in tongues today, waving palm branches today, will be absent during the suffering. You see, many of us love to worship and scream and holler and lay on the floor and roll around and do our charismatic things. Oh, but when the diagnosis comes, when the pain comes, we're nowhere to be found. Oh, the faithful were in the crowd, but the observers were in the crowd. The next group that was in the crowd when he made his triumphant entry were hearers. The Bible says something about hearers, doesn't it? It said be doers of the word, right? Not just hearers of the word. You had the people that didn't witness Lazarus raised from the dead when Jesus declared that he is the resurrection and life. You had the people who witnessed it, but now you've got the people who heard about it. Somebody say Jesus still draws a crowd. So they were there because they'd heard something about this man. They wanted to see it for themselves. They heard about it. But they weren't yet followers or doers of the word. There are those of you in here, you've heard about Jesus and you've heard about Jesus, but you don't support your local church, you don't follow Jesus, you're not into the things of God. You've created your own Jesus to fit the culture. You've created a Jesus that loves everybody but doesn't judge anybody. You've created a Jesus that accepts abortion, that accepts everything that the Bible calls sin. You've created your own Jesus that you can come when you want and do what you want, and he's just going to love you and high-five you into heaven. But you're not all in. You're not sold out. You're not committed. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. God can do something with a word. In fact, God never does anything without releasing a word. So if you've heard, act on the word that you've heard. And by faith, allow God to do something. It's not just the faithful in the crowd, not just the observers, not just the hearers. Oh, there were some haters in that crowd. When Jesus draws a crowd, you can always expect there to be some haters. In his own group of followers, he had one that would deny him, one that would sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. Who you got in your group? And if Jesus had dysfunction in his group, you've got dysfunction in your group. Whenever Jesus draws a crowd, understand that not everybody comes for the right reasons. Not everybody's in it for the right reasons. These people had grown accustomed to doing life the way they had always done it. These Pharisees were sickened by the presence of Jesus. The palm branches made them nervous. The shouting bothered them. And there's a religious spirit today in the church that shouting bothers them. Exuberant praise bothers them. Authenticity bothers them. Something that's different from what they are used to bothers them. What bothers you this morning? What could possibly be bothering you on this holy day? Somebody say, it's not about me. Say it again. When a group, a church, a marriage, a life gets to the place where they can truly say, it's not about me, that's when God's Spirit is poured out. God wants to do something. The people in this crowd, their vision for revelation had been diminished. Their minds were not set on the things above, like the Apostle Paul would tell us in Colossians. They had grown weary with religion and its rituals. Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15, he says, you transgress God with your rituals. I love that. You break the heart of God with your rituals. There was a hunger in this crowd for something new. There was a hunger in this crowd for something real. There was a hunger there for fulfillment. There was a hunger for intimacy over imitation. There was a hunger for the authentic. I love what it says in Mark chapter 12. The disciples said, teacher, we know you are true and you do not regard. It was actually the Pharisees that said this. And they were trying to insult him, but they complimented him. They said, teacher, we know that you are true and you do not regard the person of men. In other words, Jesus, we know that you're not impressed by title or position. Jesus, we know that you love everybody the same. They thought that was an insult. But that's who he is. That's who we need. So can I tell you, this Palm Sunday, Jesus still draws a crowd. Jesus is still a big deal. Jesus is still our blessed hope, our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and the end, our Comforter, our Deliverer, our Everlasting Father, the Great I Am, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. His mercy endures forever. His love never fails. He's omnipresent, omniscient. He loves us. He's all-powerful. He's the Prince of Peace. He is our Jehovah, the fulfillment of every Hebrew prophecy. He is Yeshua HaMashiach. He is our Passover lamb, our kinsman redeemer, our love that never fails. When I am weak, he is strong. I just love Jesus. He's still a big deal. He's a big deal because those of us that are Gentiles, we're grafted in to his promise. In that day, the Gentiles had their own place they could worship, the outer court, the Gentile court. You had to stay over here. You couldn't get in. You couldn't get close to the fire. You couldn't get close to the anointing in the presence of God. But when Jesus died on that cross, man, he tore down the middle wall of separation. The veil was torn in the temple so that you and I, rich, poor, slave, free, Jew, Gentile, every race, every color, every continent, we could come into his presence. Whether we had a lot or didn't have a lot, we could come into his presence. We could hear from him. We could be moved by him. He would give us a purpose that would change the world. Number two, his word. Jesus still draws a crowd, and his word is still reliable. Amen. Zechariah chapter 9, it's prophesied that the king would come sitting on a donkey's colt. History upholds the word. When Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives and he wept, history upholds the word. Promised, prophesied, and paid for. You can read this account in all the Gospels, and each one of them gives you a different perspective. John focuses on the event and the people and their response to the event, while Luke talks about the things that Jesus said throughout the day. This is what it says in Daniel chapter 9. Not only did Zechariah prophesy this, it was prophesied by Daniel, and I'll prove it to you. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come to destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant. We're preaching on that on Wednesday nights. With many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to the sacrifice offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. God gives us in this passage of Scripture an exact timeline for when Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, would be slain. If you do the math here, the multiplication, and I wish I could tell you I did the research here, but I didn't. It is 483 years. From when the command is given to restore and rebuild the temple. It was given in the old covenant time, and the temple would be rebuilt by Nehemiah. Artaxerxes, the Persian king, told the Jews to go back and to rebuild the temple. Nehemiah and his buddies got to work. On our calendar, the Julian calendar, it's 365 days a year. The Jewish calendar went by lunar calendar. It's 360 days a year. The date in history when King Artaxerxes gave the command to rebuild the temple, it was March 14th, 445 BC. If you do the math and you go 173,880 days, it comes to April 6th, the 10th day of Nisan. This is why Jesus said, boys, go get me a donkey. It's time. It's my time. When his mother wanted him to turn the water into wine, wanted him to do something, he says, woman, it's not my time. But now he says, it's my time. It's my time. And it was his time. Heaven declares the word of God to be true. The Bible says, heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. History upholds the word of God and the fulfillment of every Hebrew prophecy. Heaven declares the word of God, and Jesus is the fulfillment of that word. Over 500 old covenant promises about who Jesus would be, the virgin birth, where he would be born, what he would do, what he would say, the covenants he would make, the resurrection, the Passover lamb, the rejected cornerstone, the fulfillment of law, all of it's in him before he was even born. The dispensation of grace, this period of time that we live in and we often take advantage of, was predicted. And the fact that he would come in riding on a donkey and get up out of a grave on the third day and come back on a horse one day for his church, it's all in here. History upholds it. Heaven declared it, and he fulfilled it. The word of God. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I love Taranda's testimony. You know, God's still in the healing business. God can still heal you. There's still hope for you. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on his word. If he's given you a word, you hold on to that word. And I close right here. Jesus still draws a crowd. His word is still reliable. He uses faithful and compliant servants. As I said earlier, God can do more with a donkey sometimes, a compliant donkey, than he can a carnal, fleshly led Christian. God will use anybody or anything that will be compliant. So I ask you a few questions before we take of communion together. Are you faithful but need fresh revelation? Are you an observer but you're casual and you'll turn your back and break your covenant when the difficult days come? Are you a hearer and not a doer? Are you a hater standing by trying to find fault with everything that God's saying or doing? Or are you a donkey? God used a donkey. Maybe you've been called a donkey or worse than that. I got good news for you this Palm Sunday. Call me a donkey. Call me the slang for donkey. Call me whatever you want to call me. But as long as I'm compliant with the King, God's going to use me. And I don't care what people have said about you. I don't care what people have called you. I don't care how they've cursed you. I don't care how many times you've been abandoned. If you'll just be compliant and led by the Holy Ghost, God will use you to exalt his name above every other name. He'll use you. You may not look like much. You may have big ears. Like a donkey. You may look like Eeyore. But God will use you. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter how much you have. Doesn't matter what kind of family you come from. God wants to use you. You know, the religious people thought they had it all figured out, but God couldn't use the Pharisees. They were mad. They said, look, the whole world's following him. The whole world's gone mad. But they had a problem. A guy had been in a tomb 4 days and got out. His name was Lazarus. the haters couldn't explain that. And the haters today can't explain the fact that after 2,000 years, people are still gathering in Hickson, Tennessee, and Los Angeles, California, and Atlanta, Georgia, and Uganda, and Guatemala, and Israel today, worshiping the triumphant King, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. He's worthy to be praised. Wherever you are on your journey, move from observation to attainment. If you're watching online, I'm thankful you're observing. We need you to do more than observe. We need you to get here if you can. We need you to give. We need you to share your faith. We need you to stand for righteousness. There are those in this room. Maybe you've invited somebody today. Our big push is for next week, but maybe you've invited somebody today that maybe that person doesn't know Jesus. Maybe you'd reach and ask him in just a few minutes, hey, do you need Jesus? But if you don't know this triumphant King, we'll celebrate the fact next week that he was crucified, died and was buried, and on the third day got out of the grave, commissioned his church and appealed to 500 witnesses and ascended to the Father. If you don't know Jesus, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I want to lead you in a prayer, watching online or in here today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, because I want you to be able to partake in communion with us. Even if you're at home watching, get you some grape juice or wine or Diet Coke or whatever you got. Get you a Ritz, a Club Cracker, a saltine, a piece of white or wheat bread, it doesn't matter. It's the meal that heals. But if you need Jesus, pray this prayer. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, help me Abba's house. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Please come into my heart. Save me. Fill me. Use me for you. If you prayed that prayer, after we take communion, go out to guest reception, see Pastor Angie. Tell her you've been born again. We'll set up a time to baptize.